Hi friends, this is Dr. Ralph Wilson with the Jesus Walk Bible Study Series. We're looking at great prayers of the Bible. Lesson 3, Abraham's Prayer for Sodom, taken from Genesis chapter 18, verses 16 through 33. We're going to be looking at a great prayer of intercession. I'll be reading from the New International Version. Why don't you open your Bible and follow along with me as I read Genesis chapter 18, verses 16 through 33. When the men got up to leave, they looked down toward Sodom, and Abraham walked along with them to see them on their way. Then the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham what I am about to do? Abraham will surely become a great and powerful nation, and all nations on earth will be blessed through him, for I have chosen him, so that he will direct his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord, by doing what is right and just, so that the Lord will bring about for Abraham what he has promised him." Then the Lord said, "The outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is so great, and their sins so grievous, that I will go down and see if what they have done is as bad as the outcry that has reached me. If not, I will know." The men turned away and went toward Sodom, but Abraham remained standing before the Lord. Then Abraham approached him and said, "Will you sweep away the righteous with the wicked? What if there are 50 righteous people in the city? Will you really sweep it away and not spare the place for the sake of the 50 righteous people in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to kill the righteous with the wicked, treating the righteous and the wicked alike. Far be it from you. Will not the judge of all the earth do right?" The Lord said, "If I find 50 righteous people in the city of Sodom, I will spare the whole place for their sake." Then Abraham spoke up again, "Now that I have been so bold as to speak to the Lord, though I am nothing but dust and ashes, what if the number of the righteous is 5 less than 50? Will you destroy the whole city because of 5 people?" "If I find 45 there," he said, "I will not destroy it." Once again he spoke to him, "What if only 40 are found there?" He said, "For the sake of 40, I will not do it." Then he said, "May the Lord not be angry, but let me speak. What if only 30 can be found there?" He answered, "I will not do it if I find 30 there." Abraham said, "Now that I have been so bold as to speak to the Lord, what if only 20 can be found there?" He said, "For the sake of 20, I will not destroy it." Then he said, "May the Lord not be angry, but let me speak just once more. What if only 10 can be found there?" He answered, "For the sake of 10, I will not destroy it." When the Lord had finished speaking with Abraham, he left, and Abraham returned home. Let's pray together. Oh, Father, help us to pray with the kind of boldness and faith in you and in your character that Abraham had. Help us not to be so passive, O Lord. Help us to be active in our faith and in our prayers. Teach us today, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Abraham's prayer for Sodom, really for Lot and his family, is an amazing revelation of the faith of one man in the justice of Almighty God and an incredible boldness of a mere human before the Creator of the universe. Abraham seems to stand before God alone, yet he wields significant influence over God's actions. Let's set the stage. Years before, Abraham had immigrated to Canaan along with his nephew Lot. But as the uncle, he retained a strong obligation to protect his nephew, a member of his extended family. Lot had settled in Sodom, a sinful city in the fertile valley near the Dead Sea. Once, when the kings of Mesopotamia sacked Sodom and carried off Lot and other residents as slaves, Abraham raised his own personal military force, attacked the Mesopotamian army at night, rescued Lot, and returned him to his home. But now, Lot is threatened by another overpowering force, God himself. And Abraham finds himself contending for Lot before the Lord. Abraham has entertained three men. It turns out that two of them are angels on their way to Sodom, and the third is Yahweh himself. Here is where our story begins. I'll read again from verses 20 through 21. Then the Lord said, "The outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is so great and their sin so grievous that I will go down and see if what they have done is as bad as the outcry that has reached me. If not, I will know." Outcry against, or cry of, is the Hebrew noun zara'ah, cry or outcry. The basic meaning of the root is to cry out for help in time of distress. A similar cry of the oppressed for justice is heard throughout the Old Testament. Earlier, God has told Abraham in chapter 15, verse 16, that the sin of the Amorites has not yet reached its full measure. So he isn't ready to punish the Amorites at this time. But now, the sins of Sodom have indeed reached the point where a righteous God must punish them. Throughout the ages, God has shown mercy to peoples that have sinned. If God destroyed us for our sins, who would remain? But God is merciful, giving us a chance to repent. Nevertheless, Sodom's days are numbered. There is a time that judgment must fall, and that time has come. Abraham is under no illusions. He knows how bad Sodom really is. He knows how truly wicked the city and its leaders are, evidenced by the fact that he refused to accept anything from the king of Sodom. He knows that when the Lord's angels observe the sins of the city, he will be obligated by all that is right and holy to destroy it. But Abraham feels an obligation to protect his own family from that destruction. Now we see a most amazing, bold, audacious appeal from Abraham to Yahweh. Let me read again verses 22 to 25. The men turned away and went towards Sodom, but Abraham remained standing before the Lord. Then Abraham approached him and said, "Will you sweep away the righteous with the wicked? What if there are 50 righteous people in the city? Will you really sweep it away and not spare the place for the sake of the 50 righteous people in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to kill the righteous with the wicked, treating the righteous and the wicked alike. Far be it from you. Will not the judge of all the earth do right?" Wow. Abraham's name for God, the judge of all the earth, is another indication of Abraham's monotheism and a very high view of God's righteousness. The gods in the Mesopotamian pantheon were not known for their righteousness, but for their capriciousness and sins. On the contrary, Yahweh is the righteous, holy God. He can be trusted to do what is right. Abraham is sure of it. God has just spoken about Abraham's destiny to raise up a family in doing what is right and just. Chapter 18, verse 19. The word is mishpat, just. Now Abraham demands righteousness of God. Will not the judge, shapat, of all the earth do right? Mishpat, verse 25. The term judge is shapat, govern, judge, act as ruler, from the same word group as mishpat, judgment, justice, in verse 18. How can God destroy a city that has 50 righteous residents, he asks. It would be wrong to kill the righteous with the wicked, Abraham contends. If God expects justice of Abraham, surely he himself must be just, Abraham argues. Abraham maintains from God's own character that God must treat the righteous justly. So let's look at discussion question one. What is the basis of Abraham's argument that God should spare Sodom? How does it relate to God's character? Abraham's motive in this appeal, of course, is to save his nephew Lot from destruction along with Sodom. This is the second time Abraham has risked himself to rescue Lot. Now he comes before the Lord with incredible nerve and chutzpah. Was God upset with Abraham's boldness? No. I think God has set up Abraham for this very act of intercession by revealing to Abraham his intentions for Sodom. Over the next few minutes, Abraham boldly bargains God down from 50 to 10 righteous people that would prevent God from destroying Sodom. And the Lord agrees. Abraham dares go no lower. Throughout this bold prayer, Abraham asks for God's indulgence, repeatedly acknowledging his own humble place before the Almighty God. Let's look at four of those instances. Verse 27, "Now that I have been so bold as to speak to the Lord, though I am nothing but dust and ashes," he says. Then in verse 30, "May the Lord not be angry, but let me speak." Then verse 31, "Now that I have been so bold as to speak to the Lord." And then in verse 32, "May the Lord not be angry, but let me speak just once more." Here is a fine balance of humility, knowing our place, and yet boldness, taking the opportunity that God has given by inviting us to intimacy with Him, the King of Heaven. This is praying with two factors in mind. One, the joy of having God as our Father, and two, maintaining the realization of God's awesomeness, who art in heaven, and His holiness, hallowed be thy name. Discussion question two is, how did Abraham demonstrate his humility before God? Why must boldness be tempered with humility? Now let's look at this bargaining that's going on. Why does God bargain with Abraham? God could have said, "What I plan is just, because I say so." Certainly, God is the judge of all the earth. He would have been justified in destroying that wicked city and all who chose to live in it. Or he could have said, "Abraham, frankly, there aren't even 10 just people in Sodom. Don't waste your breath." But he didn't. Instead, he engages in dialogue with Abraham to see how far Abraham's faith will take him. Was the Lord angry with Abraham? Oh no, not at all. Abraham is the apple of his eye. He is delighted that his servant Abraham believes in him enough and understands him enough to ask this. Genesis 15:6 explains, "Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned unto him as righteousness." The faith of this pre-Christian human is wonderful to God. Here is a man who actually trusts him enough to pray this kind of prayer. Wow! God loves you when you pray to Him. When you call out, "Abba, Father," He hears your prayers and longs to answer them. After all, you are His child. He has chosen to adopt you into His family and bless you because of Jesus. Notice, however, about this so-called bargaining session, that Abraham is not offering to do something in return for God's favor. That is, trying to buy God's response. Instead, he is appealing again and again to God's own gracious and righteous character. This is the kind of bargaining that doesn't demean God by cheapening his response into a transaction, but exalts God by magnifying his righteousness, by insisting that his great righteousness requires him to spare the city for even 10 righteous persons. Discussion question three is, do you think Abraham's boldness pleased God? Why or why not? What might cause God to take delight in your prayers to Him? Persistence. Abraham's persistence pleases God also. Jesus gave us two parables that teach persistence in prayer: the parable of the friend at midnight, Luke 11, and the parable of the persistent widow, Luke 18. In both parables, the lesson is the same. I'll be reading the lesson, not the whole parable here. But from Luke 11, 8 through 10, Jesus is kind of commenting on the parable now. "I tell you that he will not get up out of bed and give him the bread because he is his friend, yet because of the man's boldness he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Now the second parable, let me read the end of the parable and how Jesus sums it up. This is Luke 18:5-8. "Yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming," says the unrighteous judge. And the Lord said, "Listen to what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice, and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" Persistence. An older generation of saints used to call this kind of persistence praying through, praying until an assurance of an answer comes. If we want answers to our prayers, we too must learn to pray through and not quit before the assurance of answered prayer comes. Discussion question 4. In what way does Abraham show persistence? Why is persistence necessary in prayer? Have you ever experienced praying through? What was it like? Now let's talk about the audacity of prayer for a moment. Through his prayer, Abraham has prevailed upon the Lord to change his mind, at least to modify his judgment. Last week with Moses, we examined the audacious assumption that underlies prayer, that we can influence God to change his mind. Of course, God will never act against his own character and word, but God can work out his will and purpose in many ways. Notice how God answers. While there are not 10 righteous people in Sodom, God answers the intent of Abraham's prayer, that is, to save his nephew. Lot is righteous, according to 2 Peter 2:7, so he and the family who comes under Lot's protection must be saved. The angels were under strict orders from God that they were not to destroy Sodom until Lot was safe. When Lot requested permission to only flee as far as Zoar, the angel granted this petition, saying, "Very well, I will grant this request too. I will not overthrow the town you speak of, but flee there quickly because I cannot do anything until you reach it." Genesis 19:21-22. See how the angel is limited by God's word that he can't do anything until Lot is safe. Abraham prays, and God grants the intent of his request, even though he does not grant the literal request itself. How wonderful! How gracious! I believe that God intended to teach Abraham and us several lessons about intercession, that is, praying to God on behalf of someone else. I see 4 lessons here. Number 1, boldness or confidence before God is necessary. Number 2, humility. Abraham remains respectful of God and cognizant of his own inferiority at the same time that he petitions boldly. 3, Yahweh's character and word are the basis of the appeal. You can see some of the great prayers of intercession in the Bible in Exodus, Numbers, Samuel, the list goes on and on. And number 4, persistence in prayer continues until the answer is received. I invite you to seek this awesome God in bold, persistent, prevailing prayer based on his promises and character. Indeed, this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. When I think about Abraham interceding for sinful Sodom, especially for his nephew Lot, I think of Christ's constant intercession for us, his people, before the Father. We read that he is our advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, 1 John 2:1. He is the one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, 1 Timothy 2:5. He is at the right hand of God and also interceding for us, Romans 8:34. And he is able to save us to the uttermost, seeing that he ever lives to make intercession for us, Hebrews 7:25. Perhaps the extent of our sin is not as great as that of Sodom, but certainly our sinfulness before God is just as repugnant. Thank God that there is one who intercedes for us, who has brought us to repentance, and has made a way for us to be forgiven. Now, like Abraham and Moses and Jesus, we are to intercede for others. We are to stand in the gap for them, that they might find salvation. God has called us to intercession. God has called us to prayer. Let's pray together. Father, I have been way too timid in my prayers when I compare myself to Abraham. Help me to know you so well that I won't feel afraid to ask great things of you. Grow my faith in you, and lead me to exercise this ever-increasing faith in my prayers to you. In Jesus' name I pray.